From the life and times of Buford Irby, Lost in Weirdsville, or What If Alice Had Been Some Redneck from Texas, by Brad McFadden. Read by Buford Irby.
Well, last Thursday it was. Yeah, it was last Thursday. It's still 8 days before the end of the month, and I was out of groceries. I tried fishing, of course, as a first path of least resistance, but I couldn't get nary nibble on my line, so I decided to do some hunting. I went out there in them woods behind the trailer with Gojo my dog, and it weren't long before he found rabbit tracks. He let loose one of his distinctive yowls, and he led me through the woods for quite a ways, yelping and a-barking so I could follow. I was plumb tired, and soon I fell so far behind that I couldn't hear Gojo no more. I called for him a few times, but then I came upon some rabbit tracks. I didn't see Gojo's paws in the mud, but I decided to follow them anyway. He was a big sucker, too, let me tell you. Soon these tracks led off down the hole under this great big old stump. It was a large washout, about two sizes bigger than me, and I knew that old rabbit would go down that hole unless he was sure there was no snakes. So I jumped down in that hole with my single shot 410, and the chase was on. First thing that happened was that I found this underground cistern so which I could start wading, but I was soon realized that there was a bird in there caught with me. And he was a flying around in a circle, squawking his song, oh my goodness. Trying to get out of there, I reckon. I didn't know what kind of bird it was, but from the squawking, I figured it was one of them egrets, and they are not good eating, let me tell you. I would have shot him, however, for he was being quite annoying in that cave, but it had probably blown my ears out, so I just kept treading on. I finally found my way out of that cistern cave and all, and onto this bank where these two idle-minded chillin' was playing. I say they was idle-minded as to be kind, because they was really about three kinds of stupid. I figure they, Ma and their Pa, had been courting at the family reunion, if you catch my drift. Anyway, they were all, "Hey, mister, look at what I can do," and "Hey, mister, have you heard the one about the walrus and the oysters?" But evidently, they were too wrapped up in themselves to have noticed any rabbit go by. They just liked to talk to hear themselves ramble, I think. Seeing as I didn't have time for them, and I'd already heard that joke about the walrus, it was pretty funny, actually. I just ignored them and did my best to keep treading through, and finally found the trail, and I was off again. Being as I learned my tracking skills when I was just a boy, I was pretty good at it. And sure enough, I found that rabbit's den. He was in there, too, because I could hear him fretting, but I couldn't get no shot off because I couldn't see what I was shooting at. So I tried to see if I could just reach in and grab him. Well, I almost had him, but he ran out the other side, and my last stretch to snatch him got me wedged in there in that den like a thighmaster in a toaster oven. I was stuck good, I tell you. I struggled for a while and then gave up with a sigh. "Oh, pooh," I said. Then I saw a lizard who scared me to half to death, but I think I scared him more. And this stupid egret must have been the same one from the cistern cave. Well, he landed on my exposed hindquarters and began to squawk like a cheap CB. It was embarrassing. Well, after resting there a bit, I finally was able to inch myself out of that rabbit house and get back to my hunt. I followed the trail through some high grass and wildflowers. I thought maybe I had made my way to my cousin Ernie's house because the weeds was way over my head. I could hear his stereo playing some awful disco mix, too. The kind of stuff he likes for some reason, but couldn't find his front door, which actually wasn't that unusual. I did, however, find the path again, and I smelled bunny, let me tell you. Then soon after that, I came upon this stoner. He had his bong all set up in the woods, and on top of that, he was whacked out on mushrooms. I tried to ask him if he had seen the prey, but it weren't no use trying to talk to him at all. He was bent on asking me these deep philosophical questions, like who am I deep down and what's the meaning of existence and all. You know all those stupid stoner questions that you think you figure out when you're high, but then when you sober up, the answers don't make no sense. One time my nephew Bosco, he wrote a 10-page letter explaining the meaning of life, but when he sobered up, it turned out to be a recipe for cannon water stew. Anyway, this stoner feller finally gave up on the questions and tried to get me to try his shrooms. I resisted the urge to shoot him, and I resisted the urge for pizza, too. Back on the trail, I soon found a raccoon in a tree. I figured a coon in a tree is better than a rabbit I can't find, so I took a shot at him. I don't often miss, but this sucker was so fast, it almost looked like he just disappeared on me. I shot up in that tree amongst him several times, but I finally gave up in pure frustration and went back to my rabbit hunting. I followed these tracks all the way to this little shack. There was this crazy feller sitting in his yard with all his dining room furniture having a kegger. Oh, he had all his friends over, and they was having just a good old time, I tell you. Playing quarters and shooters. They were more than two sheets to the wind, if you know what I mean. But just like always happens in those situations, something got out of control and the party turned mean. Some folks just can't handle their liquor. Well, he got all mad, started yelling about clean cups, and nobody appreciated him. Called me a moocher, and well, I got straight out of there just as soon as I could. Just as I turned to go, I see that rabbit duck into the woods, and I took a shot. Most of the bark of one of them trees disintegrated, but I missed that bunny. I don't miss often, as I've said, but I didn't have a real clean shot at him. I took the shot anyway out of frustration, partly, and partly to remind those fellas at the party that I had a gun in case they was angry enough and drunk enough to try to follow me. They didn't. Now, I don't really know what those boys put in that trash can punch that day was drinking. Or maybe I had more than I thought I did, but something happened next that has never happened since I was a kid. I got lost in them there woods. Yep, plumb turned around and confused. Nothing looked familiar, and I couldn't read the signs. There were some weird creatures in that wood, too. And being that I was a little tipsy didn't help things. I stepped on a duck, and there was one of those things that I don't rightly understand and will chalk up to the punch. Anyway, after roaming around in them woods for a spell, I decided to sit down and think. Then I began to hear it, just then, voices, from just in front of me there in the woods. I got up and quietly followed the sound till I came to the edge of the wood, and I saw this big old fat lady playing croquet with her short, skinny husband. I gathered from the browbeating he was taking that she ruled the roost around there. I stepped out and introduced myself and found I was on the property of Mr. and Mrs. Hart's. I was just about ready to head home, so I thought I might ask for directions, but no. She saw me, and she got it in her thick skull that we needed to have a card game. I didn't want to seem rude, and I tried to insist that I didn't want to interrupt, but she would not hear of it. Before I knew it, I was in a three-handed game of Mexican Gorilla Sweat. My only issue was that I had nothing to wager but my boots. They were some nice ostrich full quill jobs, too, that my uncle Henry had bequeathed me when he passed. Well, he was in my 410, but I have always made it a hard and fast personal rule to never gamble with firearms. Besides, I could still walk home barefoot, but I'd be awful hungry without my gun. But the missus had taken a shine to my hat. It was a straw job with a feathered band and a roach clip hanging off the back. I understand why she could admire it, but I pointed out that it probably wouldn't fit. She insisted, but it didn't matter in the end, because I drew three aces to her pair of nines and his baby straight. I figured that right away I'd make it clear that all I really wanted was good directions out of there. But turns out the tyrannical Mrs. Hart was a very sore loser, and the little man of the house was a local law. There was quite a bit of yelling, and the next thing I know, I get arrested on some trumped-up charge of cheating at cards. Now, I hadn't made any friends in Weirdsville, and sitting in the local hoosegow without anyone to go my bail didn't appeal to me. There was some argument at that point about my hat, and Mrs. Hart insisted she had won and demanded that he take it off of me. She became very belligerent about this and began throwing a certified fit, which was my opportunity to turn over a nearby table and grab my musket and head for the hills. I could still hear her screaming about my hat as I weaved up the hill and out of sight before he could gather a posse. I walked for many an hour before things began to look familiar, but I made it home, and that's the end of that story, I guess. I figure they got a warrant out for my arrest in that county, but I can't for the life of me figure out which county it was. So I'm just going to sit at home for a little while, let things blow over. Hey, y'all want some of this rabbit stew?